7. This is the text as I begin a series of messages on the home this Sunday and for the next few Sundays. But Jesus spoke words that are pertinent, at least. This is not the subject of the message he spoke here, the Sermon on the Mount, which concludes with these three or four verses in chapter 7. But just kind of a general principle that he's establishing. He says in Matthew 7:24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." We could read the other two verses about the man that built upon the sand, but I want to just focus on those two verses today and begin by saying concerning a home, a roof, a home is where there's a roof to keep the rain out, four walls to keep the wind out, floors to keep the cold out. Yet a home is much more than that. It's the laugh of a baby, the song of a mother, the strength of a father, the warmth of loving hearts, light from happy eyes, kindness, loyalty, comradeship. At least I hope that's what your home is. It should be, of course. It's the first school and the first church for little ones, where they learn what is right, what is good, and what is kind, where they go for comfort, where they, when they are hurt or sick, where joy is shared and sorrow is eased, where fathers and mothers are respected and loved, where children are wanted, where the simplest food is good enough for kings because it is earned, where money is not so important as loving kindness, where even the tea kettle sings from happiness. That's the home that God blesses. I hope your home has some of those things, if not all of those qualities, in this world of 2018, where the home has been battered, taken a beating because of humanism and modernism. But it's still God's plan for us to have a happy home. By the way, before I proceed, not all of you got to talk to Jan this morning, or not all of you were in the class out there where Howard usually teaches. So for those of you who didn't hear, he's there. I think Pastor Joel mentioned that. He's there. He's safe. He ministered this morning. He called Jan about, 6:30 our time. And they were just getting out of their services over there where the band is minister. And Howard said they had a good service. He was able to teach Sunday school. I think a couple ladies responded to the invitation. Men are coming in now by the truckload, not the busload, but the truckload for their Bible Institute, which begins tomorrow, I think. So we praise the Lord. It was an arduous trip over there from the report that we received in some of the airports that lacked signage, that lacked restrooms, that were crowded elbow to elbow with people, that had long waits. But he made it. He and Kara, and they're there, so pray much for their strength, for their protection, for their good health through the week in a third world country where, it's problematic at best. So pray for Howard and his ministry there this week. I know you have been. Just continue to do so. Before the message, Jerry Carey was going to sing, but as was announced, he has a bad back. Dan Brown's going to stand in and sing for us this morning before the message.
More grace where the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction he addeth his mercy. To multiply trials his multiplied peace. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto man. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limit, His grace has no measure, His power has no boundary known unto man. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again.
Amen. Thanks, Dan, Heather. Well, I just love the song that Pastor Joel has chosen for this month and for this series of messages, "A Christian Home," that we sang to the tune of what? "Be Still My Soul." Yeah, okay. But I don't know. I think you saw the words, and I hope that we'll sing it every Sunday because it's such a great. I don't know that I've ever seen that before. Maybe I haven't forgot about it. It's a great, great hymn. Thank you, Pastor Joel, for finding that for us. "Oh, give us homes built firm upon the Savior, where Christ is head and counselor and guide, where every child is taught His love and favor, and gives his heart to Christ the crucified. Oh, give us homes." That's my prayer for all of us today, that we will strive to have that kind of a home. The home that is built upon the rock, that has a foundation of which Jesus spake when He said that if you build a house, if you don't build it on a good foundation, then it will not stand the test of time and the storms of time, the winds and the rains that blow and howl, it will not stand. So as we consider building a home, think about this with me, if you would, today. In 1677, a man who was notoriously immoral married a woman of like character. From that union, more than 1,900 descendants were tracked. 771 of them were criminals, 250 arrested for various offenses, 60 convicted of thieves, and 39 were murderers. This family back in that time, been a combined total of 1,300 years behind bars, and cost the state of New York millions of dollars. About the same time, there was a family that lived whose name was Edwards. Jonathan Edwards was a famous preacher who became president of Princeton in time, and in his family line, there were 1,334 descendants born that were tracked in this study, many of whom were college presidents and professors. 186 became preachers. Many others were active church members. 86 were state senators, 3 congressmen, 30 were judges, and 1 became vice president of the United States. None of them spent any time in jail or cost the state anything. It does make a difference what kind of a home we have, how we build, and what kind of a foundation we build upon. And so let's consider today, in fact, you have your Bibles open there to maybe you do Matthew 7. Just turn over to Acts chapter 4. And I want to just define who we're talking about today. We're talking about the rock that we can build, the foundation upon which we can build our lives personally and our homes individually as we build a house. And some of you are already home builders. Some are home builders and prospects. Some have gone quite a ways down the road as far as building. You're children are raised, you have grandchildren, but you do impact, you do influence some life. And so I think it's a message for all of us, no matter what where we're at in life. So listen carefully. Acts chapter 4, Peter's preaching, and he's talking to the children of Israel, or the Israelites, rather, at this time, who were living then. He's preaching a great message. Christ had been crucified, buried, rose again, and the day of Pentecost had come, and this is in the aftermath of Pentecost, and he says this in Acts 4:10, "Be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders." And that, of course, he's talking about the person of Jesus whom he just identified in verse 10. "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So the stone that the builders rejected is Jesus. He is the stone of which, Paul said, there's not any other foundation that man can lay, which is going to be a good stone to build upon, your life, your home, than the foundation, than the stone, Christ Jesus. And I want to, just in this message today, give you several things to consider about this stone, this rock. First of all, I want to say that in Deuteronomy chapter 32:4, Moses said, "He is the rock." If you open that up in your scriptures, and it's up there, and by the way, it's good. It's capital R in bold letters. He, and that's the way it occurs in the Old Testament. He is the rock. He, God. His work is perfect, for all his ways are truth and judgment. All his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. What a great statement about God being the rock. He's the rock. His work is perfect. And if you start building your life, if you build your life upon that rock, his truth, because he is truth, all of his ways are perfect. He's a God of judgment, and without iniquity is he. If you build your life, and I want to just challenge all of you today, before we go any further, just even if you're not married and don't have a home that you're building per se, I want to challenge you to build your life upon the rock. Young people, take to heed the words of Jesus Christ that we just read earlier. He said, if you hear these sayings of mine and do them, you're like a wise person. You can hear them and you can not act, but you can hear them and do these things. And if you hear these words and if you build your life upon a solid foundation, and when the storms come and the rain beats and the wind howl, and by the way, we've seen instances of those things, even this week, when Lynchburg, Virginia was almost inundated with water, at least parts of it. You hear that on the news? By the way, that's where Liberty Baptist University is, and I think they're up on a mountain, so I don't think they were in jeopardy, but hundreds of homes were, thousands of people's lives, because there was a dam that was in jeopardy of not holding. And so the rains will come, and the floods will come. They have out east, and the fires will come. They are out west. And life has its storms, and life has its howling winds, and unexpected crises. They will come, whether in the frame or form of a financial setback or a physical hardship. They will come. Just mark it down. They have come. They are coming. They will come. And you need a foundation that is firm and solid upon which to build your life, so that when those crises come, you will not be swept away. The dam, as it were, will hold. The Holy Spirit will steady you. God's word will calm you and direct you, and you will withstand the storms of time. Because he is the rock, capital R. He's the rock. He's the only rock, by the way. He's the rock that is worthy of our praise. In Psalm chapter 18, And verse 31, you've got it up there, but I'm going to turn to it and read it. You can turn to it also. But notice Psalm 18. I'll catch up with you in just a second. 31. I want to read it. I want to read it here from the scriptures. Who is God save the Lord? Verse 31 of Psalm 8. Who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? There's no God like him. There's no rock like him. All others pale in insignificance. You cannot build your life upon any other thing or any other person or any philosophy or anything in life other than the rock that is God, the rock that is Christ Jesus. Notice down in verse 46 in the same passage, the Lord lives. And blessed be my rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. Is he your rock today? That was a personal testimony that the psalmist gave. The Lord is my rock. I've accepted him as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm building my life. And by the way, I'm building my home upon his truth. Because he's the rock. He's the only rock. He's the rock that will stay and will stand and will steady in the times of storm. Number 3, if you're keeping track, Isaiah chapter 17. Isaiah 17, these are just verses from the Old Testament. Speak of the rock, Christ Jesus. And verse 10 in that passage, because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation, this is a message from the prophet and a God through the prophet to his people. And the message is this, because you've forgotten the God of thy salvation, has not been mindful of the rock of thy strength. Therefore shalt thou plant pleasant plants and shalt set it up with strange lips and so forth and so on. But God says, you have forgotten the rock. You've not been mindful of the rock of thy strength. It's easy to get busy in life and get distracted from the scriptures and have a relationship with God cool off so that we forget that our strength is in the Lord. Our strength is in the rock. He's the rock of our salvation. He's the rock of our strength. He's that which will hold us up and steady us in the times of storm. Again, in Isaiah chapter 32, please. Isaiah 32, and look at verse 2, please. A man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest. By the way, that man, I think, is the man Christ Jesus or God, in contrast to back up to chapter 31, verse 8. Then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword, not of a mean man, shall devour him, but he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomfited. He shall pass over to his stronghold for fear. His princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, his furnace in Jerusalem. This is talking about God in the, not only the present time, but in the future, when God will deliver his people from the Assyrian and from all Assyrians and from all enemies. And a man, the Lord Jesus Christ in this case, I believe, looking to the future, space to the millennium, shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. A great rock, a place of hiding, a place of respite, a place of rest, a place of comfort, a place of shade and strength. When the battle is raging all around and you have found a quiet place with God, a place that is like a covert, a place hidden from the people and from the battle and from those around. Oh, what a blessed place. Oh, what a great relationship as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Well, I imagine that Howard would like a rock like that just about now, just a little bit of shade in that hot place. But he can find it. He has found it. He will find it. And it's a personal getting away with God. And you can find it too tomorrow in the heat of your battle, wherever you go. Maybe not the literal rock, the rock of Gibraltar, but the rock, the spiritual rock, of which we're going to see in just a little while. It's the spiritual rock that followed God's people all the way through the wilderness. It was like a hiding place. Great rock in a weary land. Let's go on to 1 Corinthians. Go with me over to the New Testament. And I think I alluded to this, but let's read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And this great passage where Paul rehearses the passage of God's people through the wilderness to the promised land. Let's read beginning of verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea as they came out of Egypt and stood there at the Red Sea. And they had the cloud behind them, pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day to lead them. Came to the Red Sea and there was no place to go as far as back. Pharaoh's armies were in pursuit. Couldn't go sideways either way. That was no answer. They couldn't go ahead because there was the sea. Notice verse 2, all were baptized. That is, all stood with Moses. The word baptized sometimes doesn't mean going down into water and coming back up. It means you are identified with, you are gathered to. And as they went into the sea, as God parted the waters, and they went on, they all stood with Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all, verse 3, all did eat the same spiritual meat. And verse 4, all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock. By the way, that's capitalized, isn't it? Because that's not just a rock, it's the rock. And they drank of the same spirit that followed them, and that rock was class Christ. That rock, that deliverer, that stabilizing factor, that shade, that strength, their strength, that followed them, that invisible, maybe you might say, it was a cloud by day and a fire by night, but it was the rock, it was the strength, it was their power. It was their deliverer. That rock was not an immaterial thing or even a material thing. That rock was the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great picture of his providing for them in their journey out of Egypt to and through the wilderness. So he is that rock. He's the rock of provision. The rock that provided for them everything they needed. They all, every one of them drank of that. They drank of that spiritual rock that was followed, and that rock was Christ Jesus. Let's go on. Turn back to Isaiah again. Isaiah chapter 28 this time. And verse 16. Therefore, let me just back up and read in verse 14. Isaiah 28, beginning of verse 14. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem. Because you've said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell and we're in agreement. When the overflowing skirt shall pass through, it shall not come upon us. What fools to make a covenant with hell and with death. And to think that they could escape God's judgment. For we have made lies our refuge. And under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Instead of the shadow of the rock, the great rock, the only rock. They fled to make a covenant with death itself, of hell. And their covenant was based upon falsehood and lies. Therefore, verse 16, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, precious cornerstone. A sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and waters shall overflow the hiding place. What a tremendous statement about who God is, who Christ is. As the prophet says, as God said through the prophet, I'm going to lay a sure foundation. A tried stone. a precious cornerstone. Have you noticed over here in the hallway, the east hallway, the cornerstone that was set there in 1956, 1958 maybe, 58, 60 years ago, as they constructed our what is now known as the first auditorium for Edgewood Baptist Church then, it was called. And Grace Place now it's called. And those beautiful wooden beams in Grace Place are the first sanctuary. And where the kitchen is now, it was not a kitchen. It was a raised pulpit area. The wall adjacent to the kitchen was not there, so we had the pulpit. And by the way, this is all on our 50th anniversary tape. You can see it on our website. It's a very interesting thing to watch. Back where that little storage room is, right off Grace Place, was a glass window through which you could see the service. There was a nursery there for moms and little ones. But there was a cornerstone there, a foundation stone. It's the first stone set. All other stones are set in reference to that stone. If that stone is not set properly, then all other stones will not be properly set also. It's key. It's strategic. It's vitally important that the cornerstone is set right, correctly, so. And so the Bible says he is a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. You can build your home on the cornerstone of Christ Jesus. Build your home on belief in his word. Build your home in faith in his promises. Build your home in instructing your children out of the pages of the word of God. Go to Ephesians, New Testament, please. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul speaks of this as he writes to the church. He says in verse 19, "You are therefore no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. And you are built," talking to the church here, "are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, being the," class, "chief cornerstone." Oh, there were other important stones. There was a foundation of prophets and the apostles, important in the building of the church. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 16, remember when Jesus said, "Whom do men say that I am?" And finally Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "You're right, Peter, small rock, Petra. And upon this rock, I will build my church." It wasn't on Peter. If it had been up to Peter, it wouldn't have been a very good church. It was on the rock Christ Jesus. Upon this rock, the rock Christ Jesus, I will build my church. And so Paul said, "And we're built upon the foundation and of the apostles, Jesus Christ himself, be the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you're also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." So I submit to you today, you cannot find a more sure, more precious, more vital, strategic stone upon which to build your home. The chief cornerstone upon which to build this church, a local assembly, than the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. If our building, our home or church, local church, not talking about the body of Christ because he's, but we as a local assembly, if we don't order our building and put everything that we do in reference to the chief cornerstone, that, by the way, that cornerstone set right is Christ Jesus. We need to come along and do what we do in reference to that cornerstone. Make sure, because if we don't, it's not going to be straight, not going to be right. It's going to be weak and crooked and subject to falling. So important to start out right, to finish up right. Let's go back to 1 Samuel, please, back in the Old Testament again. I love this one. There was a little old lady. Well, I don't know how old she was or how little she was. There was a lady who wanted a child, and she prayed, and God, you know, gave her, in the answer to her prayer, a child who's name, she called him Samuel, gift of God that he was. And after she received this little boy from God in direct answer to prayer, she said in chapter 2, verse 1, Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Amen. You know, she wasn't a theologian. She wasn't a priestess. The old priest Eli thought she was drunk when she was praying that prayer for God to give her a child 9 months or so, 10, whatever, before. He had so little spiritual discernment himself that he didn't know what she was doing. He thought she was drunk. He hadn't seen anybody pray earnestly for so long, he didn't know what it looked like. And she was not, as I said, well, she may have been a deep theologian. Sounds like she was. We read the whole of her prayer, all of it. But then she had this straight. She knew that there was no rock. There was no rock like our God. Amen. That's true today still, just as true as it was then. There's no rock like the rock Christ Jesus. There's no person, there's no philosophy, there's no pursuit in life that you could build your home on that's better than him. No, not even any comparison. Oh, you can try. You can try to build on the shifting sands of materialism. And when the winds blow and the waters rise and the floods come, it'll wash away. You can build it upon the shifting sands of the latest fads of the day. But if you build on any other foundation than Christ, it's not going to stand. Your life, your home, it's just going to be washed away. It'll be washed away. There's no rock like our rock. There's no rock like Jesus. That's not all. Let's go to Psalm 62, please. Psalm 62. And we learn another thing. And by the way, we're only going to touch a few scriptures today about the rock. There's so many others. But I want to just give you some in the time we have. Notice Psalm 62, verse 2. He only is my rock and my salvation. That's not a bad personal testimony, is it? He only is my rock. I am building on him. I am trusting him. I am believing him. I am working to please him. I am laying no other foundation in my life, my home, than this rock. That is the rock Christ Jesus. And notice it says further, I shall not be greatly moved. I shall not be greatly moved. Oh, man. There will be things push against you. There will be things blowing at you. There will be things shaking underneath you. But if you're on the rock, Christ Jesus, you will stand. I shall not be greatly moved. You might seem like you're going to slip, but you'll stand. You'll stand steady. You'll stand sure. I saw Sarah Mawson. No, that was not Sarah, but the daughter. What's her name? Maybe Sarah. Picture out in Denver. I think it was Colorado. She was with a group of probably young people, missionaries, at Red Rock. Great, massive rocks outside of Denver. I was there when I was a teenager. The majestic mountains, they're not as beautiful as where Ellen came from, the Blue Ridge, but they are majestic and beautiful in their own way. But when I was out there as a teenager, I was up in the mountains and on the edge of Denver, and it was night, and I was looking out over the city. And I was so enamored with the lights below, I almost forgot where I was, and I looked down, and there was nothing except the edge of the rock I was standing on. And I'm glad nobody said anything to me. I probably would have jumped, but I eased myself back. But it was good that there was a rock underneath me at the time. Not soil, there was a rock upon which I could stand. That's just a paltry illustration of what we have in Christ Jesus, the rock. Sometimes the lights of the world will grab our attention, or the sounds or the sights. We get so enamored with them, we forget where we're at. But we remember there's a rock underneath us. That rock is Christ Jesus. We're unmovable. We shall not be greatly moved. Psalm 62:7. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26 and verse 4. And we'll read verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. Now the word rock is not mentioned in this verse, but it's the concept is, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Amen. He's the rock of ages. Everlasting strength. He is our strength. He's the rock that's our strength. And it's for time and through eternity. Everlasting strength. The Lord Jehovah, the rock of ages. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Amen. Praise God for the rock of ages. Number 10, and lastly today, would you go to Psalm 18 again with me? Psalm 18. And a couple more verses. Verse 2, well, verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compass me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compass me about. The snares of death prevented or went before me. In my distress I cried upon the Lord, called upon the Lord, and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. The earth shook and trembled, the foundations also of the hills moved, and were shaken because he was wroth. Then went the smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens, and came down, and darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. He thundered in the heavens, verse 13. The highest gave his voice, hail and stones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He shot out lightnings and discomfited them. And so on and so forth. But he said, the Lord's my rock and my strength, my buckler, my shield, horn of my salvation. No need to be afraid. He is the rock of ages, and he's the only rock, as we saw in this verse. He's my rock. He's the only rock. The rock of rocks. A couple more passages. Go to 1 Corinthians 3 now again, please. 1 Corinthians 3 in conjunction with what we've just read. In fact, in conjunction with the whole message, Paul says this. Maybe I've already quoted, but one more time won't hurt. It says in verse 11, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Other foundation. You can try. You can build one. You can build on the sand, whatever kind of sand it is, success, career, pleasure, culture, entertainment, fun, education. You can build on that sand all you want. And for a while it looks pretty good. It really does. People will admire it. People speak in awe of it. Oh, look at that. That's beautiful. But have you seen some of those houses washed up by the floods that have been built on the ocean or the shore nearby? Or the rivers, the raging waters of rivers of floods that have come up instantly with no time to hardly get yourself out of there. You've seen the pictures of the rubble left in just 8 minutes or less. of things that were not built upon a foundation that would stand. Other foundation, as you build your life, as you build your home, other foundation can no man lay, really, truly, that's going to stand, than that which is laid in Christ Jesus, the Lord Christ Jesus. Build upon Him. Build one day at a time, one stone at a time, one pebble at a time, one piece of life at a time. Build upon Him. And when you're done with life, that building will stand. One more passage. Turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, Jesus, later on in His ministry. And this is a message for all of us today as I close this message out about the stone, Christ Jesus. You know, Daniel pictures Him in Daniel chapter 2. He has a vision that he interprets of the world kingdoms right down to the future, yet future still today, of the Gentile nations at the time of Christ's coming. And when Jesus comes back again the second time, He's going to come back like a stone made without hands, the prophet said. That means He was of God. Nothing man had anything to do with. And He's going to come back as a stone that crushes those kingdoms, those nations, those powers of the one world government in the end days, just at the second coming of Jesus. That's Daniel 2, the last few verses. And in Matthew chapter 21, Jesus speaks of that stone in verse 42. Jesus said to these people that were listening to Him, many of whom were Jews that would later crucify Him. Jesus said to them, verse 42 of Matthew 21, "Did you never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected?" We've already seen that. That's Jesus. "The same has become the head of the corner." This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. "Therefore, saying to you, the kingdom of God should be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth fruits thereof." He's speaking to His own people now, the Jews. "And whoever shall fall on this stone," that's Jesus, he just identified it, the head of the corner. "Whoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken." Have you fallen on Jesus? Have you come to Him and broken because of your own sin and fallen on Him and say, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner"? You're broken. You realize you cannot save yourself. You realize you're in the end of the rope. Your life has crushed you down and you fall upon Jesus, broken. "Whoever falls upon this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever this stone falls, it will grind him to powder." You have a choice. You can fall upon Him in faith, believing and calling out, "Oh, for salvation and mercy." Or you can allow Him to fall on you, as will happen in the last days to the nations, but it can happen to individuals too. You can allow this stone to fall upon you. You can continue to resist, to be unbelieving, and He will grind you to powder. Don't wait for the stone to fall on you. Fall upon the stone today. Now's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Trust Him while you can. And this is not about a stone, but there was an old man going alone highway. Came at evening, cold and gray, to a chasm vast and deep and wide, through which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. That sullen stream had no fears for him. But he turned when he reached the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. "Old man," said a fellow pilgrim near, "you're wasting your strength in building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You never again must pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you this bridge at eventide?" The builder lifted his old gray head. "Good friend, in the path I've come," he said, "there followeth after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. The chasm that has been not to me, to that fair-haired youth, may a pitfall be. He too must cross the bridge. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building this bridge for him. And as a mom and dad, as a parent, as a grandparent, we need to build some bridges for our kids. We need to lay some foundations that are sure. We need to lay the foundation in our home with Christ. Christ Jesus. Build upon Him. Don't get caught up in the sway of the world and follow after these dead-end trails, chasing something that will satisfy, something that will give you another ounce of pleasure, something that will be entertaining for a while. Just follow Jesus. Put your life on the foundation, the cornerstone, which has already been laid. No other foundation can even match it. Father in heaven today, thank you for the stone, the rock, our rock, the only rock, the rock Christ Jesus. As we consider home building, this first message, help us to, as parents, as grandparents, as prospective parents, young people, to take inventory of our life spiritually. Where are we? Are we on the? Are we standing? Are we building on the rock? The rock? The only rock? The rock of ages? Or have we begun to build upon that which is something else? Not the rock, Christ Jesus. We're taking a chance that when the storms come, it'll stand, this house, the home we're building. But help us to realize that when Jesus climaxed his Sermon on the Mount with that parable, he said, if you build upon sand, it won't stand. And there's so much around us that is beautiful and so attractive and so alluring that draws us to itself, and we think this would be a good thing to build on. I'm just going to camp here and build a while. But it's not really the foundation of Jesus. Help us to check it right there and to get back with building on Jesus, our lives, our homes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 59. Hymn number 59, your hymnals will close the service by singing, My Faith Looks Up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary. And I want to extend an invitation to you to come if you haven't made, if you don't have a personal relationship.